And on today's program, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of fist fights the devil. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program. This is the month of December, if you can even believe it.
You know what that means? Better start.
That's right. That's right. Get ready for it.
I haven't opened a beer on this show in a while.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I like this. This is my post-election depression can just sort of careen into my holiday depression.
Sure, you're hanging out with your racist Uncle Mark.
I don't have a racist Uncle Mark. Let
it consume you. So the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Chris Cabin is not here today.
Yeah. You think anyone was asking?
He's back at the hotel. He sent us as a surrogate band. You get that?
Nope.
Pink Floyd, baby.
Oh, what? Wow. What does that even mean?
Watch a fucking movie.
Oh, man. I never saw that movie.
Saw Pink Floyd's The Wall?
I don't give a shit about that band either. So I know they're kind of popular.
They're very popular.
I've seen a few posters in dorm rooms. Does that count?
You know who loves them? Your racist Uncle Mark. He loves those
guaranteed,
guys.
Guaranteed.
It's a pretty good movie.
No, it is. I haven't seen it.
It's just, I got nothing against it. I've just, I'm totally ignorant to it.
They were on a couple of my mixes. You know what else was on a couple of my mixes? Most of the songs on the End of Days soundtrack.
This is indeed End of Days from 1999, directed by Peter Hyams, one-time close friend of O.J. Simpson.
Oh, wow.
Is that a fact?
You'll find that out if you watch that amazing ESPN documentary. Oh, Peter Hyams is all over it.
Wow. More or less than Al Michaels.
It seemed like he was closer with the juice than Al Michaels. But then he was like, oh, hey, this guy murdered two people. and he clearly murdered two people, and I don't want to be friends with him anymore. So, Peter Hyams making the right decision.
Watch that movie, huh?
What's that?
You watched that movie, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
One of these days, maybe I'll get around to Pink Floyd's The Wall or whatever. Is that
goodness.
Is that the movie where those, school children have pig faces or whatever the fuck's going on?
Yeah, there's that.
The scene I was referencing before, it would have been a great way to segue into some great alt-right jokes, because there's sort of a fascist allegory throughout that film.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right where you want to be.
All right, that's the Nazis. Is that those are the
I think they're the Floydsies in this one or something. Okay. Yeah.
Now, by the way, this is not the first Peter Hyams film we've done on the program.
See, what?
That's right. Because not only is he the director of End of Days, he's the director of a tiny film that we've seen several times betwixt us and did an episode on called Time Cop.
Love it.
And then he's also the director of Stay Tuned.
Oh, wow. He's a three-time loser, they call him.
So, wait, what movie is Stay Tuned that we're going to...
No, the movie Stay Tuned.
Oh,
but he's also definitely the director of a couple other Stay Tunes, including Sudden Death and A Sound of Thunder. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
That's a real fucking turd. But speaking of turds, this movie, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger. This was his first movie returning to the screen after Batman and Robin, where I guess he had heart surgery. I had no idea about this. You see this on the Tribune? You hear about this?
Who had heart surgery?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, and it was the whole thing about the insurance company was worried he was going to drop dead, and they kept coming to set and observing him.
But they found a cow big enough and put that heart in there.
It was the night I introduced George Clooney to Danny DeVito, who went on to be better friends than I am with either of them. No thanks, by the way. I had a heart attack in the parking lot.
You know what, George? I too can drink limoncellos. It's not just Danny.
I love Nespresso, George. Let's hang out. Let's dress like Napoleon.
I could say that I am in.
I have ruined approximately 6 TVs every time I see George and Danny's Nescafe commercial.
He's like Elvis-ing it now?
I just keep throwing shit in my TV.
I'm just like, Danny, you don't even know George Clooney if not for me. You weren't in Batman and Robin.
Man, he fucking should have been. Bring the Penguin back in some
capacity. Oh, yeah. He would like get some like a day glow makeup on the Penguin. He's raving. He's touching his nipples with flippers.
You know what I was wondering about with this movie? You know, this is 99, like I mentioned. Hollywood used to be devil crazy. Mm-hmm. What happened to those days? You found a nice, like, respectable actor or actress to play the devil. You got this. You got Al Pacino.
Right, yeah.
Angel Heart.
Yeah, Angel Heart. Yeah.
You know, what was the last good devil movie?
Bedazzled?
No.
How
I
about
almost
that,
spit beer all over the place because that's got to be a joke.
That M. Night Shyamalan produced Devil?
Oh, yeah, Devil. That's Devil that's going down the devil style.
oh, man, going down devil style.
Well, yeah, I need some instructions on that.
No, just an elevator.
I think I saw that movie in high school. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just an old lady. Just a mean old lady.
There you go.
You know what's a confusing thing at the start of this movie? Because you've seen the preview. You know, if you then went out to the theater to watch this movie or rent it like I did. I missed this one in the theaters.
This is the one and only movie that I've seen Thanksgiving Day in the theater.
Wow, man. It was filled up with turkey and going to see End of Days.
I'm pretty sure it came out around Thanksgiving and I went and saw it. If it wasn't that, it was Christmas, but I think it was Thanksgiving.
I saw A Bug's Life after Thanksgiving. That was a mistake. That was boring.
Stinks.
Oh, I didn't see that. I don't know what about your Bug's Life movie.
Is that the Pixar one or was Ants the Pixar one?
No, that's the Pixar one. Ants is the DreamWorks.
Oh, and then the Pixar one, it's Dave Foley.
Yeah, it's Dave Foley. Nobody's giving a shit. Kevin Spacey is a big, like, mean ant or something.
That's on a lot of dorm walls.
Oh, yeah. It's all the women with all the album covers on their backs by the pool and then an ants poster.
Or it's a bunch of women with all the different bug movies on their backs, right? Yeah. Like Ants, A Bug's Life,
B-Movie.
Yeah, that's it. You could Photoshop that, folks at home.
Sorry, I'm trying to look up this release date for you. I want to see if...
Are you looking up other bug movies, dude?
No, I'm looking, like I said, dude, I'm looking up release dates.
You're
going to
look at John Saxon, The Bees.
This was indeed a Thanksgiving movie, November 24th, 1999.
Because you wanted to... Because this movie is trying to cash in on Y2K, which was happening a couple months.
Right.
So you want to get it out in November when you're Y2K crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, back when, you know, when you're still buying water and, you know, packets of gravy. Mm-hmm. And,
remember,
you know,
all those
just
people...
hoarding all your America Online discs.
Exactly. All those people that were like building bunkers and getting water and guns, and they thought it was going to be the end of days. And
didn't happen.
Yeah.
Did not happen. Did anybody do anything special for the Y2K New Year? Do you remember?
A blackout drunk? Is that something special? Or
really? Wait, how old were you? You were underage, young man.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Shame.
What about you?
I think you
spent it in a bunker, didn't you?
No. I think I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail that night.
Nice.
Oh, how much ass did you get, out of curiosity?
Let me just say, I could grab a lot of my own ass back then.
I went to a party thrown by friends of my parents who they don't talk to anymore.
Oh, good. That's
so that's
weird.
Yeah, that's a memory that I'll
so
have
how much
forever.
Ass did you get?
Actually, I'll remember.
That's the reason.
The funny
Steve
thing was
out there getting ass all night.
He was blackout drunk getting ass.
You can't remember a single one, but he got them.
I remember when it struck midnight, the dude who owned the house threw the breaker to the electricity and everything went off, and the place went fucking ape shit.
Oh, that's a bad prank.
And then you just hear this dude who kind of looked like Quint from Jaws just laughing in the basement.
Oh, that's
just
creepy.
Fucking laughing, this guy laughing his fucking mustachioed tits off. Anyway, end of days. Yeah.
Oh, sweet, man.
It was pretty good. We start this movie with a credit that was confusing at first. And I don't even know where it is in the movie because there's a lot of bad computer stuff going on in this movie.
Is it CCH Pounder? Because that's her name. Just her name.
No, the credit that says Creature Effects Stan Winston.
I guess it's the invisible devil monster, right?
But but I thought Stan was like, practical FX.
I think it's Kevin Pollak.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Pollak's Jets hat.
That like that demon puppet they get out of storage every once in a while.
Well, all right, I'm going to put Walter back in his closet. Who wants to see Kevin Pollak?
No, not you, Chuckles. I'm getting out Kevin Pollak.
He is a tiny man, isn't he?
Oh, sure. He could sleep in a dummy's coffin.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we start off in the 70s. There's a comet, and some priest is like, there's like some cabal of Catholic priests and the Pope.
The Pope is there, played right. by the handicapped uncle from Breaking Bad, Mark Margolis.
He's great.
If you guys, I don't know if you noticed this, there was one shot later on in the film we're talking about today, End of Days, right. where the Pope is in a wheelchair.
Pope's in a wheelchair.
Oh,
you
really?
Know what? You got to tell me how that Pope
yeah,
got in a wheelchair.
That's a great question.
You can't just have the Pope sitting in a wheelchair.
Well, also, you start Pope's not in a wheelchair, you end the Pope's in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
But what if? Now, the Pope needs to get out of Dodge, right?
Maybe right.
There's some trouble in the Vatican City. He goes down Mexico way.
Right.
Becomes that uncle in Breaking Bad.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I see that happening.
Because he's in a wheelchair, too.
I Salamanca totally see Begins. I love this.
Salamanca Begins.
Exactly.
He defeated a pope. I wasn't a pope. Now I'm not a pope no more. I'm also now somehow a Mexican.
Sure, whatever.
But man, in those 20 years, what was that event that caused the Pope to be in a wheelchair? Because that's news. That's global news.
He got blackout drunk after seeing a Bug's Life.
Getting some serious ass in the Vatican City multiplex parking lot.
Yeah! So
did some wheelies until the Swiss guard told him not to anymore.
He dispatches this one priest. He's like, look out for this lady across the globe there in New York.
Look out for this lady. It's a woman. It's a girl being born. Look out for this lady.
Yeah, well,
this baby, lady.
Look out for watch this baby. So across in New York City, in the hospital Blade was born in, I believe.
Mm-hmm. It's the same rainstorm is happening, actually.
This girl gets born, and this creepy lady brings her. Going down, by the way. Go all the way down to the basement. I guess
go down to hell.
All right, so yeah, the nurse takes the baby downstairs.
Yes.
And this is some, like, Rosemary's Baby shit. And this is the part of the movie that I was kind of more interested in, is, like, the cult surrounding this. Because let me tell you something.
I bet you were.
Oh, yeah. Because let me tell you something. You walk into a fucking a hospital basement, dude, and there's standing before you Udo Kier.
Yeah.
Some shit's about to go down.
Well, does every
possibly some pansexual shit?
Does every hospital have like a devil basement just in case this happens?
I think so.
Yeah. Like if you go all the way down, there's just a weird like a couple of dudes waiting for a baby to put snake oil on or whatever.
Yeah. Well, like Udo Kier cuts open a snake.
That's right.
And puts the blood in the baby's mouth.
It's pretty gross. Pretty cool. Maybe this is also you get Stan in for this.
Oh, yeah, the snake. Do you think they brought Stan Winston just for a snake puppet?
Yeah, I can make you a snake.
Yeah, give me 6 hours, I'll make you a snake. You didn't call Savini, did you?
Is anyone turning into the snake? Or you want the snake to turn into something else?
You're just going
to
cut it open? Yeah, all right. You didn't call Savini, right? I swear to God if you called Savini.
Just go down to Party City and get you a snake. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I think I saw Rick Baker on the way out. Did you call fucking Rick Baker? Am I your third fucking phone call for this snake?
No, Stan, you're the best. He's the best in the business.
Look, everyone, it's Stan the man.
Oh, he's just totally lying to him because everybody else passed.
And like Stan Winston's like, I don't know you, Arnold.
Stan, come here. I need you to make me a trouser snake. It has to be long.
I have a date with my maid later.
Oh, man.
We're going to dust off the furniture.
I got serious ass last night. I finally found the use for that hutch.
It was crazy, but I was thinking about it when watching this movie. I was like, oh, he must have already had that affair.
Right? You were thinking about that?
I did.
Yeah, well, yeah, since he had used some retro, he must be done having that affair like in most movies, right? Like,
yeah.
And other affairs,
so,
too.
Because right? How old is that kid now?
Yeah.
Did they put snake blood in that kid's mouth?
Oh, that's probable. That's probable. It's unconfirmed, but it's probable.
So we cut 20 years to the future. We cut cut to Arnold, by the way. He's a
13 and a half minutes. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Steve, but 13 and a half minutes before I get to Arnold Schwarzenegger in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. What happens first is the Gabriel Byrne begins scene, which is really great.
Byrne Begins is pretty fantastic. So, like, he's a dude who's meeting some friends at a restaurant, and the devil or something comes out of the sewer like it's Ghostbusters 2.
I'm the devil.
Dude, it's so that. And speaking it's flying of it, around.
Stay tuned later for some more Ghostbusters 2 comparisons.
And so we get to, like, Gabriel Byrne's at this restaurant.
It's an invisible dragon, by the way.
It looks like the Predator.
Okay, yeah.
But the Predator's, like, camo.
A visible restaurant, just to paint the picture.
You can't see the devil dragon, but you can see this restaurant pretty clearly.
It looks pretty nice. I would say 4 stars, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At least three Michelin stars. So then, like, Gabriel Byrne excuses himself to go to the water closet, and then the devil beats the shit out of him, which is pretty funny. It's like the liar, liar bathroom assault.
I'm kicking my own ass. Do you mind?
And he comes out, and this is, like, it's the best part of the movie, and we're talking, like, under 10 minutes into this thing. Mm-hmm. He kisses, like, he's a third wheel at this dinner. It's like this other couple, and he comes
and
up.
We don't even know, like, what their relationship is.
No, there's no dialogue. Mm-hmm. He kisses this woman on the mouth, and the guy's like, hey, and he, like, lion growls at him and looks at him.
And then he starts. My God, Steve, you got more experience in this. So talk to you. That one night you blacked out.
He starts making out this lady. He puts his hand visibly down her dress.
Oh, and I missed that entirely.
He's manipulating
He's got her whole breast.
Oh, he's
in
steering
his hand.
The ship, huh?
Yeah, it's really something.
Yeah,
and this guy's like, hey, so he, like, growl, looks at him, and walks out.
And then she's, like, with bated breath, like, I never knew.
You get aggressively kissed by the devil? I don't care who you are. That's funny.
And then, like, Gabriel Byrne, like, farts and the restaurant explodes.
That's an interesting point, because later in the movie he has flammable urine. So yeah, I think maybe he dumped in that toilet before he came out.
Shit.
And that was like a timed grenade.
Oh, my God. It's like clicking down.
It's outrageous, though. It's like the opening of Die Hard with a Vengeance when that store blows up.
Yeah, but that explosion in that turn is a metaphor for Y2K.
Oh, I
ever
see.
Present in the background of this film.
Mm. So
it makes total sense.
Gasoline, urine, mm-hmm. poop grenades, and then what are we talking, like?
Electric semen.
Electric semen. Wow. It's like the electric gremlin comes out every time.
Yeah.
Wait, so his semen can get stuck in a phone line? Better not have phone sex with that guy.
Yeah, I think that's a lesson to be learned here.
And his tears are what? Like booze? Like really good booze? Like really good whiskey?
Oh, yeah. I think, single malt.
Yes.
A devil's cut.
Oh, God.
Devil's cut piss. It burns when you fry it.
What I don't like about the aftermath of this explosion is we cut to, like, you know, a shot of New York City, and you hear, like, shitty New York radio. But it's just a dude talking about Y2K, and I was like, no. A fucking restaurant blew up. You would be talking about that all ding-dong day.
It only comes up later where people are like, we still don't know what happened at that restaurant. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Nobody's investigating it. Nobody cares. Like, that should be the thing. Arnold is, like, I don't know, sent to investigate this restaurant explosion?
Like, he's set to, like, to infiltrate and destroy the IRA. Because Gabriel Byrne was seen leaving the president. You know what I mean?
A black Irish rogue comes out of a place and it explodes. I don't know. It's 1999.
Then you got, it's like blown away. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger has to do like an Irish accent.
Oh, God,
He would do a better Irish accent than Brad Pitt does in The Devil's Own. I guarantee that.
I mean, I know Pitt's accent is bad, but hear what you're saying.
My name is Conor O'Malley. Ta-ta-ti-ta-ta-ti-ta.
Yes. So then we do cut to Arnold, man, and he is about to commit suicide.
Yeah, he's been watching Lethal Weapon a lot.
Right, yeah, he's like going to put a gun on himself, but then he's like, I'm a cop, you idiots. Stop it.
No, he gets saved.
Put the gun down.
He gets saved by the Pollock, dude. Kevin Pollock knocks on the door.
I think Kevin Pollock's wearing some George Costanza lift boots in this movie.
Oh, he has to be. Well, also, though, as we learned semi-recently, like, Arnold's not that tall of a dude.
Yeah, he's not that big.
But I mean, come on. Come on. Kevin Pollock, come on. You're wearing boots.
So he's like, he's coming pollocking around. Arnold makes his breakfast, which is just...
Oh, shudder.
He's been drinking whiskey all night.
Listeners at home, get out your recipe book.
He's... He's shit wasted, and he's like, ah, come on, Arnold, we got to do our security detail because we work for a very mysterious, underdeveloped security company for some reason.
It's so underdeveloped, you will think that they're just two cops in this movie.
That's what I thought they were.
No, they work for like a fucking Blackwater security firm.
They work
some
for
shit.
Stryker Security.
And if anyone's keeping track at home, that's Stryker with a Y.
Stryker Brothers. I got fired from the NYPD for touching...
Well, he does say,
have touched.
He says at some point that he was indeed a police officer at some point.
He was a cop, you idiot, for a little while.
I was a cop, you idiot. Put the gun down. Okay, wait, I'm not a cop anymore. Shoot me. Shoot me now. He's talking to himself.
But so Arnold is like hungover wasted. He's like, oh, man, I got to do this security detail. So he puts, is it milk?
Kevin Pollak comes with a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yes. There you go. That's your first ingredient. This is like a real... This is like... I thought Jim Belushi was gross in those movies.
Oh, no. Belushi ain't got nothing on this concoction.
This is crazy. So it's a cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee. He takes a slice of pizza. A good old slice of a cold pizza, which is when you're hungover, that's what you hope is in your
fridge.
That's
medicine.
From the floor of the kitchen.
You hope that's on the floor in your kitchen.
It was on the floor in the kitchen.
Then you hope.
Yeah, Arnold picks it up.
Yeah. It's for medicinal use only when it's on the floor.
He puts whiskey in there,
obviously. And then he puts Chinese food.
Like whole clumps. Like we're talking like maybe some General Chow's in here.
Well, you need your proteins.
And he blends it and then he starts drinking it.
That's just vomit. The shake.
I have seen, I didn't watch any of the videos, but there are a couple people that are on the YouTube that have done this.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are the reaction vids like?
I didn't watch any. I just saw that popped up when I actually listened to the End of Days soundtrack on YouTube today.
How do you not you discover a treasure like that on the internet? You don't bother to click on it? What was it been? 3.5 minutes of your life?
Yeah.
Listen to the soundtrack of this movie.
So
instead
of doing that really cool thing, you listen to this soundtrack. Let's run down the soundtrack really quick.
It's got Korn.
Well, that goes without saying.
It's got Guns N' Roses came back together.
And which the actual Guns N' Roses song is featured in the movie.
And that's what I was going to say, is not all of these are featured in the movie.
Limp Bizkit shows up. They rock this set like Russian roulette when you're placing your bet. then you've got...
Everyone
left. And then you've got Creed shows up for a bit.
Oh, shit.
Rob Zombie's there.
Oh, Robert Zombie.
And I'm sure I'm missing music inspired by and featured in the major feature film End of Days. Exclusively at Closed Coconuts around the country.
Also, Everlast doing the song that's not famous.
Yes.
Oh, yikes. Hey, what? Any Seven Dust making an
appearance?
Seven
Dust doesn't show up. They couldn't get out for it.
Oh, that's too bad.
They auditioned for the End of Days soundtrack. They didn't get it.
What about some Silverchair for the more emotional people?
Excuse me, Seven Dust. Yeah, you're just too loud. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're just darn too loud.
Darn too loud. You're not just too loud. You're darn too loud.
It would be great if Huey Lewis and the News put out a new metal album and they only for the End of Days soundtrack.
I would like
Huey Lewis starts rapping.
Oh, God. That would be horrible. Horrendous.
I'm into it.
I'd listen to that sooner than Duets.
What is Duets?
The film Duets is a good movie. I like it, man.
What is that, a Huey Lewis movie?
Huey Lewis appears in it, as does Paul Giamatti, among other people. It's a movie about people at a karaoke competition or on their way to a karaoke
competition. Wait, is this Robert Altman?
No, but it feels like an Altman
What
movie.
Year?
So around 98, 99.
Wow, weird.
Weird wild stuff.
Weird wild stuff.
So apparently their security detail is to protect a Wall Street banker who is Gabriel Byrne.
Which, you know what? Blink and you miss that piece getting put together.
Just such a small line.
Because the thing that, here's what doesn't make any sense to me. The guy, Arnold, is like, so what do we have today? Some big mafia scumbag? And Kevin Pollak is just like, nah, it's just some Wall Street piece of shit or whatever. He's like, oh, okay, good, because I'm hungover. But then, there's an assassination attempt on this guy? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, there's an assassination attempt, and, if they're just a security company, shouldn't, after Gabriel Byrne survives it, isn't their job done? Like, don't you have to be like, oh... Here's the information, police. You go. You're not jumping in a helicopter in the middle of Manhattan, by the way.
No.
Flying all over. There's this whole, like, it's a big dumb scene.
You're jumping to hand Gabriel Byrne that invoice.
And then you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Because you're going home to eat unblended Chinese food.
Oh, now you get all that money, you can have unblended Chinese food.
Wow, this Chinese food is all in one piece.
Yeah, things are looking up.
Yeah, I'll take a number 14. We'll also get some egg rolls. Oh, unblended, please. I would like all of this unblended. Just really, really specific there. I want to be really clear.
Okay, by the way. Yes, the name for the order, Jericho Kane.
Jericho Kane is this character's name, which, you know, not for nothing.
Seamless will not deliver to Jericho Kane. Oh, yeah, nice try.
This is the first time, though, I can recall where Arnold, obviously outside of, like, the Terminator movies, doesn't have, like, some ground Chuck grade A fucking Stars and Stripes American
but
name.
Jericho Kane's almost worse, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I'm not saying it's worse or better. I'm just saying it's not like,
it's not
hi there, I'm Brad Johnson, all American. Like, he always has those names and you're like, that's not this man's name.
But Jericho Kane just sounds like a character in a fucking post-apocalyptic novel.
Like, or like a wrestler. Yes.
Speaking of Jericho, Y2J.
Oh, right. Yeah.
What?
There is a wrestler called Jericho who in
Chris Jericho,
who wrestled in the 1990s, late 90s into the early 2000s as Y2J.
No.
Yeah. And he would come out and he would say it's Y2J.
Yeah.
You know, Y2K, it's Y2J. You
okay. Eric.
Yeah.
You get it?
I do. So what happened when 2000 hit for Y2J?
He was kind of doing it for a little bit after that.
A little bit longer than you wanted him to. That's
and I think, if I'm remembering it right, I think, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong here on our early 2000s wrestling memory, did his like intro video have a bunch of ones and zeros all over it?
I think it might have.
I think it was
Matrix-esque.
Wait, does he see in code? He sees the entire ring in code.
That's why he was such a good wrestler, dude. He just looked. He stared at the ring.
He can anticipate the movements from the code.
Okay, Bobby Chicago, what do you want?
Let me get a chicken pop.
Do you want that blended or not blended? I'm ordering for myself, which will be blended. So it's going to get messed up no matter what.
That's one blend, one not blend.
Let me get the chicken palm hero and three egg rolls blended, please. I swear to God, get a good blend on there. I want it to look like cream.
No, there's like, you go up to the setting number 7. I want you to hit 8. I know no one ever uses setting 8. I want you to blend this chicken palm hero.
Oh, Bobby, you got to order the unblended pizza. You're busting my balls, Bobby.
You know it's and going then, to get messed up.
And I also want a cherry Coke. But solid, frozen solid. I drink my food. I eat my drink.
I like to nibble away at my iced cherry Coke like a rodent going up against a piece of wood.
Oh, come on, Bobby. You don't want the frozen... Oh, Bobby, you're ruining this order.
You know they're going to fuck it up. You know what, Bobby, here's what we'll do. I'll call in one order, and then you call in the second order separately.
What is this bullshit? This is a Slurpee. I wanted a solid cherry Coke.
Hello, this is Jericho Kane again.
This is bullshit. This is Bush League.
I mailed you that blender last month telling you this is how I was going to order my food. Yes, Mario. Get Mario on the line. I am so angry right now.
Bring me a cherry Coke in a cube. A solid cube.
That detail begs the question. If he's sending the restaurant the blender, why doesn't he just keep the blender at home and blend whatever gets delivered?
What am I paying for? I'm going to be blending my own food? I'm going to cook it for you?
You say, have it your way. Okay? I'm not the Burger King. You call yourself the Burger King. I'm not even doing a voice anymore. That's just how I talk.
Boyga King. It was like Jerry Lewis doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
So it's this big thing, this chase around the priest, and he's flying, jumping up on buildings. He's swinging from ropes. I mean, all of this shit is illegal unless you're a cop, and he's not a cop.
Yeah.
And he chases.
I don't think it's legal when you're a cop.
It's definitely not legal when you're a cop.
For our law enforcement listeners.
But yeah, so like this whole thing ends in like a chase where they're like going into this dude's like basement apartment or something, trying to figure out who this guy is.
Well, no, he shoots him first. He catches him. He shoots him, and like the guy yells out like the dark angel has risen from his prison, and he shoots him. And then like CCH Pounder comes up, and he's like, "Hey Arnold, your W-2 here, your whatever paperwork says that he yelled this at you, but that man doesn't have a tongue."
Bum, 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 bum.
Wow.
So someone cut out his tongue after Arnold downed him.
Or Arnold cut out his tongue.
Maybe he's a secret tongue collector.
Well, it's great because you get a little like Arnold backstory, because she's like, "Arnold, have you been drinking again?" And he's like, "What?"
She's like, "Oh, hey, Marge. How are you, Marge?"
Marge. She's basically like, "Are you drunk right now? Because you said that this dude talked and he doesn't have a tongue." And he's like, "I don't see what my functioning alcoholism has to do with this, Marge." So then they continue this investigation, which goes beyond the bounds of security people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, once the threat is neutralized, you're done, man. You collect your check, you hang out.
That's it. And also, like, he wound up going to the hospital or what. Like, he didn't. You don't really know what happened to Gabriel Byrne. Why isn't. Like, I know he's the devil, but, like, he's taken into custody. It's kind of like when fucking Trump ran away from the podium that one time. It was fucking hilarious. Like, it's kind of that. They're like, "Oh, let's get him out of here." But then, like, why isn't that dude being mandated to, like, whatever court appearance is happening? Like, Gabriel Byrne's just loose on the street. It makes no sense.
But he's very vaguely got the police department in his pocket, which we don't understand until later in the movie.
Oh, like, right.
And I don't know if they're possessed or it's money or it's whatever.
Possessed. I would like that. Like, just show me a seance, like, rising the NYPD full of ghosts.
Anything. How about details about anything? Because it's all... For a 2-hour and 3-minute movie, it's about as vague as you can get on the detail front.
It's quite vague. Because, I mean, it's a bull in a china shop. It's Arnold in a supernatural thriller. Like,
On paper, it sounds amazing, but this movie's kind of dull and it's a little boring.
Well, the thing is, you can have an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and you can have a devil movie, but you can't have an Arnold Schwarzenegger devil movie.
Unless he doesn't work.
Oh.
Hey, Andrew, I have an idea for you. Put both those ideas in a blender, and then I'll eat it. I will eat your movie idea because you're a fat idiot. Next screenplay, please.
I put all my screenplays in the blender and drink them.
That's how I memorize my lines. I absorb them. It's my mutant ability. I studied with Charles Xavier.
If only it worked for Hercules in New York. Oh. We had to overdub him for that one.
Never saw that.
He couldn't keep the shake stinks.
Down. Oh, no, that's a shame.
And that's why he couldn't know the lines. Yeah.
So, Hercules in New York is one of those things, like, at least at the beginning of that movie, where you're like, is this softcore pornography?
I wish.
For like the first like 10 minutes. And then Hercules goes to New York, and there's not really much of that anymore.
Is he at least in New York, or are we talking Jason Takes Manhattan? Is Hercules on a boat for most of it?
No, I'm pretty sure he's
walking around Central Park. Okay. Yeah.
It's legit.
That's cool. It's not even Toronto. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the real deal New York.
Yeah.
Not Canada's New York.
So the priest writes on his chest. He carves into his chest after he gets crucified by Gabriel Byrne. Christine York, which is like, it says Christ in New York, but then like Arnold's like, "Wait, I'm a master detective."
the world's greatest detective. Yeah.
It goes Batman, then me, then the great mouse detective, then Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, Jericho Kane. It's Christine York. Let's find her.
Then Columbo. Who else? Bobby Chicago?
Matlock. I'm a better detective than TV's Matlock.
One thing we do get in the helicopter scene, I don't want to go all the way back there, but is a Kevin Pollak stunt double, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This dude's like a foot taller than Kevin Pollak.
His name is like, you know, Rory McLeod. He does children. He does slightly built women and Kevin Pollak. Rory McLeod, petite stuntman.
It is. I will say, at least this about that whole like ridiculous helicopter thing. There's a helicopter there. There's sure. people inside of it. We're still doing stuff.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
not like all computer.
Yeah,
you know, like
there's a lot of practical effects actually in this. Which
yeah,
I
will take like a clear, you know, stunt double for Kevin Pollak over Kevin Pollak.
Cartoon.
Constantly being there in a CGI'd helicopter. Like, they do a green screen thing, but it's for like 2 seconds. And, you know, we don't do that anymore. We don't rent helicopters anymore. I feel bad for cinema's helicopter renters.
That's true.
They're getting put right out of business. Huber. It's going right down. Between, you know, green screen and like drone technology to get shots from high up, fucking forget it.
Oh, man.
These are the real Americans getting put out of work.
What are they going to do now?
I guess invest in drone companies.
I guess so.
Well, all the manufacturing jobs are coming back in the next couple of years. So I can't wait for that.
True. They'll just get a job at the old mill that'll reopen.
Yes, and the factories that'll hire all those people and automation will just go away.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
So we're introduced to Robin Tunney.
Mm-hmm.
Tunney?
It's Tunney, I
Tunney?
Think.
I was hoping you were going to say Robin Leach.
No, Robin Leach is not in this movie. It would be something, though, if he just
hello, Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger, look at you go.
Clearly, I'm the son of the devil.
Yeah, Robin Tunney's like the grown-up version of the baby we met at the beginning of the movie.
And there's weird stuff's happened with her, and this is like very vaguely explained.
Sure.
Her parents died. Right. You see her mother in the beginning. She's dead. She Bruce Wayne's her grave by putting a rose on it. the nurse actually winds up raising her.
Right.
And Udo Kier is now her psychiatrist.
Yeah, it's all very Rosemary's Baby in that way.
Which is actually the coolest part of the movie.
I want more of that shit, you know, except like, oh, well, we'll get to it, but these characters don't have long.
No, actually, Udo Kier is having dinner. He's like, oh, that's so sorry. She's having a nightmare. She sees this weird albino dude on the train, and he shatters into glass.
He goes, he's going to fuck you, Christine. Yeah, and she's like, what's that? I already gave you a dollar. Which is fucking
I give you
great.
A dollar for this not to happen.
Exactly. That's you give him a dollar to shut up.
But what's amazing is, like, one, we see this dude in real life earlier in the movie.
In real life?
Well, like, because this is supposed to be a hallucination. So, in the real world of the movie.
She's on the subway,
But then, like, she's on this subway, and there's the dude, and you're like, oh, that's the dude we saw on the street a few minutes ago in the movie. Okay, we recognize him. But then he just shatters like a fucking Harry Potter villain or something. And like, it's all a hallucination to her. And my thought was, where did that dollar go?
That's a great question.
Because she gives this hallucination a dollar.
Do you think the dollar shatters?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
It all goes to hell.
It broke up into 100 cents.
It all goes to hell, and some demon's like, a dollar?
What am I going to do with a dollar?
10, 10, 220.
You can call somebody. So, yeah, Udo Kier is like, oh, take another Xanax. It's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Oh, Christine, it's the holidays. It's Y2K.
Everybody is so stressed out.
German-centric New York they're putting together.
Well, Udo Kier actually said that he was supposed to be the devil in this movie. And
I read that on the Tribune also.
And then they hired Schwarzenegger. They're like, well, I got to have a couple of Germans jawing each other this whole movie. Udo Kier, bust him down to psychiatrists.
Like, they thought, like, the mix of, like, the German and Austrian accents would be like you have like the main protagonist and antagonist of the movie having like, you know, European accent.
But that if they said it in Berlin, that'd be really fucking badass.
Exactly.
I mean, why doesn't this take place somewhere in Europe? Get a little close to the Vatican, have this third act take place at the Vatican. Fucking wheelchair popes there.
Oh man, imagine like it's in London instead, and Schwarzenegger's like a British Bobby. That's a cop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yabby.
Bobby.
Because why
going
are we
to use my nightstick on you?
We're always buying him as an American cop.
Yeah.
How about European cop?
Yeah. I would love it.
Totally true.
Give me the fish and chips and a lamb stomach and put it in a blender. I want 2 pints of room temperature beer put in there as well. Do it. Do
Wait,
it now.
I think that's how they make Guinness. I think they just put fish and chips and black water in a blender.
Yep. And then you drink it.
Don't tell that to the Irish. They'll have a real Guinness. Problem with
no,
it.
No, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give out your secret recipe. But it's good.
So Udo Kier has dinner with his wife and daughter after telling her to like calm down. You know, it's going to be fine. Because they're all manipulating her, I guess, throughout her entire life.
They've been keeping an eye on her.
Yes.
Because this whole thing has been prophesized that like on the eve of the end of the century, the millennium, like the devil will come back and fuck this baby.
And
it was a baby to impregnate her.
And then make another baby. Babies get babies.
It's like a Russian doll of devil sex.
This baby's having a baby.
Here's my thing. If you're the devil, why do you have to come back a couple of nights before? And why do you have to do all this devil shit? Like, literally, you're Gabriel Byrne. Come back in November.
Yeah.
Meet her at a meet cute at a coffee shop.
Dude, fuck that.
Couple of dates. And then around New Year's,
of dates.
Yeah, the devil goes on a couple of dates. You go.
I guess the devil would like that.
Yeah, the devil would do that. And then, like, maybe she wants to have sex with him, but he can't until it's New Year's Eve. And he's like, it'll be more special this way. You know what I mean? Like,
something we'll remember for the rest of our lives.
By the way, I'm the devil and you'll never find. Like, he devils way too quickly. Because, like, it's. You know,
he could just show up like in the night and impregnate her. Like,
well, the devil's got a plan. You know, he's always the man with the plan. But here's why it's stupid: because all you do, like, you're the devil, man. You've had eternity to be the devil, whatever. Why don't you just be one of the people that's raising her, or something, or be the psychiatrist, or be the coworker?
Yeah.
There's a rat-a-tat-tat at Udo Kier's door.
Who could it be?
And this is ridiculous because Udo Kier knows what's going on.
He's been a devil worshiper.
He's been in league with the devil for at least 2 decades that we know of.
Uh-huh.
He answers this door and it is the most casual greeting the devil has ever received because this door opens and he's like, oh, it's you.
Yes.
I was like, what are you talking about? Dude, your fucking dreams are coming true right now.
It's kind of I'm leaving the door open and going back to dinner. Like, oh, come on in. Yeah, it's fine. It's cool. Honey, it's just the devil. Oh, set another place for the devil.
Don't mind him. It's the devil.
You're just like, what the fuck? And then he comes in and fucking rapes his whole family and kills him.
Oh my God. Now, this sequence is very weird.
It's outrageous.
It's very Devil's Advocate, by the way. This movie, Hollywood
was devil crazy.
This movie saw 2 movies before this came out. Seven and The Devil's Advocate.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, there's definite Seven connection. But now when Gabriel Byrne is having sex with Udo Kier's wife and daughter.
Simultaneously.
They start to merge. And then he's just like fucking a blob.
Yeah.
He's just like fucking this blob.
It's like their 2 heads come together and it's just like he's fucking the top of Cousin It. Like it's real because all you see is hair. Like the 2 faces come together and it's just hair.
There's three scenarios. What is Udo Kier doing right now? He has either just been fucked by the devil and he's like taking a breather somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's jerking off.
Yep.
Or he's in the living room with Cheers on really, really loud.
It's the first two. It's the first two.
No?
And I'll tell you why. It's
no!
It's 1999.
And Cheers wasn't in syndication yet. No,
well, that's but that's what I was going to say. It's 1999. We're in the midst of, like, Seinfeld just ended. Friends is still on. We don't have a use for Cheers syndication.
Oh,
it's around,
right.
But it was much harder to come by.
Yeah, you know,
maybe a TV Land situation.
Under no circumstances do you watch Friends while the devil fucks your
it's not loud enough.
No,
that's your number one problem. It's not loud enough.
The belly laughs that only the majority of the seasons of Cheers could give you. But no, he definitely just got fucked by the devil and then he's jerking off.
Okay, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, no, that was what I was going to say was Netflix wasn't really around.
Yeah,
so
that's
you couldn't stream Cheers.
And now I understand you told me that Udo Kier dies in this film.
Yeah.
How does that happen? Because I don't remember.
Oh, really? Do you not?
I don't because I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Dude, yo, set the scene.
Okay. I'm on my couch.
Uh-huh.
Put on, oh, what's this? Oh, End of Days.
Oh, this is getting good.
Honey, blend my dinner.
Oh, the blender was on when the Udo Kier died. You couldn't hear it.
Exactly. So now
scallops, mashed potatoes, some broccoli in there.
Exactly. Oh, everything's in there. Everything's in there.
Well, there's like a quick other scene where these dudes like bum rush Robin Tunney's house.
That's right.
Oh yes.
And
yes,
they are unsuccessful. So then Udo Kier has to be like, "Well, I'm sorry, but we don't know where she is right now." And then Gabriel Byrne, as the devil, punches his head off.
Oh, that's
awesome. It's like Gabriel Byrne is Gallagher.
Oh, okay.
And Gabriel Byrne's fist is Gallagher's sledgehammer, and Udo Kier's beautiful head is a watermelon.
All right, now your head is going to represent the impeachment hearings, and I'm going to be Kenneth Starr. Curse Platt.
Wow. You know what? Timeline appropriate joke.
Yep, there you go.
That's beautiful.
It would only invoke another Ken Starr joke.
Yeah.
Wasn't that last year?
It's also Gallagher, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's like fucking 40 years behind everything.
It's even worse. It's Irish Gallagher. Ew, do you want to go see Irish Gallagher? No. No,
I can make Guinness, Mark. I'm Irish Gallagher. I got 45 minutes on fucking potato famine jokes. I'm Gallagher, but I'm Irish.
Wait, he smashes potatoes instead?
Oh, maybe? Totally. Wow. Yeah.
This is Belfast. This watermelon. Oh, this potato would recommend Belfast. And this is the English government. Curse Platt.
See, I can be topical, Mark. I'm Irish Gallagher.
That's even better. That's like his new phase. He's like, no, I need another interview with Mark Maron. He only interviewed Gallagher. He never interviewed Irish Gallagher.
Come on, Mark. You know dick about Irish Gallagher.
I'm going to go out for TV pilots. They won't touch Gallagher, but they love Irish Gallagher.
I can be on Peaky Blinders, Mark.
Sure could.
Peaky Blinders Season 4 starring Irish Gallagher. Look out, Cillian Murphy. I'm coming for you.
Well, he wears the same hat as Gallagher.
He already has a Peaky Blinders hat.
Give me back me hat.
Look out, Sam Neill. Here comes Irish Gallagher. You're a corrupt priest.
Oh, that is stupid.
Yeah,
you ain't wrong.
But
Udo Kier's dead. His head explodes.
Right. Is this where Stan Winston comes in?
Oh, the head?
But I mean, like, it's CGI, but maybe, like, you get Stan to make sure it looks right, kind of a thing.
It's a really impressive effect. I mean, this head fucking goes.
That must be it, right? I mean, that must be it. You're right.
Yeah.
It must be it.
Hired Stan Winston for that shit. Get Irish Gallagher in here. I'll show you how to make a fucking head explode.
God, it's just so dumb.
It's just so I guess at this point Arnold and Robin Tunney meet up.
Right.
Arnold saves her from this sect of priests who are run by Rod Steiger, who wants to kill her. Like, that's the idea, is like, we're going to kill her in a humane way, which kind of makes it. Like,
it makes total sense.
Those dudes in league with Rod Steiger? Or is Rod Steiger. Because Rod Steiger's the one who's like, you just got to hang out in this church till it all blows over.
Yeah. Right.
I think those dudes are from the Vatican.
Yeah,
the Vatican did
it.
Yeah, they're from the Vatican and they were trying to kill her. And they're right. And all, like, the theme of this entire movie, I don't know if you guys picked up on it, is don't stop murder.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes it has a purpose.
Gabriel Byrne should die. This girl should die. And that's just the way life is sometimes.
Because billions of people are in the balance. Because basically all that needs to happen is to be sure to stop Gabriel Byrne from fucking this lady.
The devil, by the way. Not just Gabriel Byrne. Not just run-of-the-mill Gabriel Byrne. The devil.
Here's a question. Why doesn't she just get like an IUD done real quick?
Well, I'm sure the devil could work his way around that.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he could use devil powers deactivate birth control.
He's
got
that electro.
That's
semen,
true, yeah.
His
piss is very much like gasoline, which we'll get to. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I wouldn't trust an IUD scenario.
Like, he's trying to impregnate her with the electric gremlin. And then the baby would have a personality of a gremlin.
Right. Oh, or Blade.
Or Blade.
Maybe Blade's personality.
Maybe them blended together.
Yeah. Or that's how Irish Gallagher happens.
Yeah.
My dad had electric semen. I'm Irish Gallagher.
But so he...
I have 12 brothers and sisters. I'm Irish Gallagher. Sorry.
Thomas Aquinas.
Yes, Thomas Aquinas.
That's the dude
that had his tongue removed.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, dude is the most abused character in a movie you'll see in a while.
He's like Norberg. He's the Norberg of this film.
He really is.
Because all this shit happens to him because he's like, he's under the devil's spell. Yeah. Or whose spell is he under? Because why would he be trying to assassinate the devil?
He's under the Pope's mysterious spell.
Oh, he's working for the Pope, is he?
Yeah.
The Pope. Well, then why does he carve all that shit into himself?
Because he's all fucked up.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But he eventually gets it by the devil, though, doesn't he?
Because he can't have sex.
Oh,
that's what it all comes down to.
That's true. Yeah, he does get
crucified, and then this satanic cop shoots him in the head at the end of it, basically, because like the devil shows up to the room and he's like, "Hey, devil, you can't come in here." He's like, "You know who you work for. I know who you. All the boys you're having sex with." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, whatever, movie."
Sure. Like that's you can't just say things like that in a movie. That requires like some sort of non-graphic flashback to like this dude off hours, get over to my police car or something.
Get over to my police car.
So that dude gets murdered by the devil through this cop kind of a
thing. But like, so Robin Tunney now is working with Arnold because Arnold saves her from these crooked priests that are trying to kill her.
Are they crooked? They're good priests.
They're good priests.
These are the best priests.
So she's in her safe house, and the devil's like, you know what? Fuck it. He kills Udo Kier. He's like, I'm going to go see her. He's got Kevin Pollak hanging outside, and Kevin Pollak even has this line. It's like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like,
hey, what am I doing in this movie?
Yeah, he's like, what am I? Oh, hey, Gabriel Byrne. Gabriel. Hey, Gabriel.
I don't know you.
Well, we did a little. We did the usual suspects together.
I never did, and I never will.
Do you think actually right. in this
Dean Keaton? Right? Yeah, you're right.
Do you think in this in his contract for End of Days, he was like, I swear to God, if at the end of the movie the devil turns out to be Kevin Spacey, I get 12 points of the movie. It's in all of my contracts from now on.
Holy shit, we got to rewrite this movie.
At the end of In Treatment, Kevin Spacey turns out to be the therapist.
Was anybody watching that?
Somebody must have. We got 2 seasons.
No.
Well, Carnival got 2 seasons, yeah, and I know the nobody was watching that because I was watching it. Steve was there.
I was there, yeah. I was there most of the time, actually. But yeah, like because like that's his, the famous thing was like he was like so surprised and upset that he wasn't Kaiser Soze, and like when he saw it, he like roughed up Brian Singer in the parking lot.
Parking lot of what?
Of the premiere. Like the premiere is like, oh, hey, really? Singer, why aren't I Kaiser Soze? I thought I was Kaiser Soze. He gave him like a lot of chest thuds.
What? Yeah, that's insane.
It's probably an apocryphal story, but that's the story that I heard.
A what story?
Apocryphal.
Is that like an apocalypse story?
No, they're two different words.
Like an end of days story?
You blend those words together and you eat them and you get apocryphal, which is a word in the English dictionary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll have to invest in one.
So, but no, that's a story that's, you know.
That's crazy. And also, why would you care?
Why would you also, what? You're in the movie as much. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a good movie. You got paid, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
I imagine you got paid, right?
I swear to God, if I'm not the devil at the end of this movie, if I fucking see Spacey come down that hallway, fucking fixing his stupid limp. I was the one with the limp, Mark. I could be the devil, Mark. I could have been Kaiser Soze, Mark. We got Gabriel Byrne. What'd you do?
Oh, wait, you're that guy? Kaiser Soze.
No, I wasn't fucking Kaiser Soze.
Pow! It was the In Treatment guy. Oh, Lord. So he goes, the devil shows up at this townhouse where Robin Tony's been living.
Kevin Pollak's casing the joint outside, and he's like, oh, I'll take care of you, Kevin Pollak. And he pisses all over this wall, and you're like, well, that's kind of weird. It's like blood piss. It's dark.
I think it's just so like it shows up on camera because it's at night.
Yeah.
I don't think he's supposed to be pissing blood.
Really?
Or ink. Maybe he's like a squid.
Oh, yeah. Quick,
quick, quick. So he visits, goes all under Kevin Pollak's car. He's like, oh, man. And he lights a cigarette, very much like Usual Suspects,
sure.
By the way. And the fire trail comes in, and Kevin Pollak lights up like a Christmas tree.
Right, the whole van explodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's great is Kevin Pollak like gets out of the van to be like, hey, what's going on in this movie? So he's outside when this thing goes. Because it's one of those, like, you think he might get away.
Yeah.
But no, he just goes up. It's awesome. And then there's like another trail of piss that goes under a cop car. Like, I guess some cops are like staking the joint too.
Actually, if you look closely, there's a third trail of piss. And what it does is it goes right into a 35 millimeter print and into the projector, into the theater.
That is End of Days. It's a trail of piss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's excrement.
It's waste.
So then, like, Byrne goes in this house. He murders this nurse / stepmother. Or
yet
whatever.
Again, I mean, why anyone works with the devil is always beyond me.
You know you're going to get fucked. All those empty promises.
Here's the real question. Now, okay, listen. My body, as we all know, is just a vessel.
Right.
And
sure.
Who cares about my stinking, dirty, gross human body?
Sure. Right.
If I'm cool with the devil and he's like, all right, and he knocks my head off, but then my spirit goes to hell, but suddenly like I'm like the Duke of Hell or like
well that's gotta be in your contract. So I need a high position in hell, you know what I mean?
That's what I want. I want the contract scene. Get the blood ink out.
You want to also make sure in that contract, by the way, that when you get to hell and you open the door to your hell condo, that Kevin Spacey's not living there.
Get the fuck out of here, Spacey. Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
There's like 7,000 Kevin Spaceys in hell right now.
I just moved in.
Oh, hi.
He went there because of that talking cat movie.
Or maybe that's, oh no, you know why? It's the peace that he has. That was the deal with the devil.
This is one of the greatest moments in this movie is when like Arnold shows up and he's like, you know, something's not right here or whatever. And then like he starts fighting this old lady. This old lady kind of kicks the shit out of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
She's going for it.
Hilarious.
She's got devil powers, I think.
He's getting pinned under a piano.
It's so awesome. But then she, like, I don't know what happens. Like, a bunch of glass falls on her or something. And then, like, Gabriel Byrne, like, cuts her head off or some shit.
Yeah, he does a little nice little fatality.
Why doesn't he make this townhouse explode?
Like, again, good question. I guess he didn't have a dump that day. Like, he didn't. It was depending on what he had lunch. I just drank too much today. You know, I didn't have McDonald's for lunch.
What's awesome is there's some scene sort of after this where Rod Steiger as this like priest who's leading whatever brigade,
the Catholic Church.
No, it's more like if Kolchak the Night Stalker was a priest. I feel what this other movie is.
Yeah. There's a great like under this dude's church. There's a great like set of all these like computers and banker's lights.
It's a paranormal investigations operation underneath this church run by Rod Steiger.
And is it Steiger or is it Steiger? I always said Steiger.
Oh, it might be Steiger, yeah. Probably Steiger.
You know what? I never said either because I never knew who this guy was.
Oh, really? Oh, he's been around.
I know. I'm sure he's been around.
Didn't you meet his widow? Is that your story? Or
no. That's when Eric and I ruined the screening of the final Roy Scheider film.
Roy Scheider.
All right. Okay. You know, let's tell that story now because you've teased it. So to paint the scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Set it up.
We went to, I think it was free. It was free, right?
Yeah. We didn't pay for that.
No. So, you know, this is a strike against them for letting us in.
Yeah. First things first, it's a strike against them.
It's their fault. So we're like, oh, yeah. He's like playing like a Nazi hunter or something. He's like getting it, but he's like older.
Roy Scheider is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a movie about.
It's like flashbacks to when he was young.
Roy Scheider basically finds the Nazi who's responsible for killing his parents or something, and he's going to go to Germany and kill this guy, basically, is the movie.
Right.
but it was terrible.
It was so bad. It was so boring. It was.
And he's dead at this point.
He's dead. The widow Scheider was in attendance for a Q&A.
He had just died recently. And what was it, like 30 minutes in?
If we were lucky.
Maybe 20. We start like putting our coats on.
Because it was like cold out, man. So you got your big coat. We've got bags from work.
I think we were like in the middle of an aisle too. So it was like
we were like she could the widow Scheider could see this happening.
You fucking clowns, man!
What, you, come on,
no, you're right.
Really want me to waste my life?
And we just sort of like you're crawling over people to get. It was
excuse me, this is bad. I'm sorry, your husband is dead. Can we leave? I'm sorry. This is terrible. We're leaving! We're leaving! Isn't this bad?
Boo!
P-U!
Boo!
Maybe the shark finally gets him in this one, right? Anybody?
Oh, his wife's here.
Wait, I shouldn't be on the Nazi side?
Oh, Lord, whatever.
So there's like stigmata going on. Rod Steiger's like, oh, yeah. You know, everybody, in case you're wondering, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Oh, wait, Gabriel Byrne and Kevin Pollak are in this movie? Well, that's a bit clumsy, isn't it? That's a bit odd to have the most famous line in another movie where the two guys are in it.
There's some other
Is Benicio
part.
Del Toro back there or what?
Man.
The second greatest trick the devil ever pulled was Y2K. All right. Well, maybe the trick didn't come off as well as he intended, but it's the thought that counts.
It's in this scene where he has a great passing thing where he's talking about those other bad priests that came from the Vatican, and he's like, yeah, the Vatican Knights, blah, blah, blah. And I pictured Knights, N-I-G-H-T-S, and I was like, Vatican Knights, that's a cool show.
Hot Vatican Knights.
I'd watch that, dude. It's like typical Vatican stuff, but just like Baywatch, they're solving mysteries.
It's like X-Files, but in the Vatican. But sexy, because it's on like the, you know, it's on like the
Cinemax.
Yeah, and it's like Roman beaches and shit. And they're like looking for like sexy devil ladies.
Totally.
Shit.
Jeremy Irons is definitely in this show.
It's got like the main dude's got like flowing robes so he can whip it out whenever.
That's cool. Yeah, and like all the while they're just moving priests from parish to parish that are molesting children.
That's actually
like the day to day work.
That's like 80% of the episodes. It's like once in a while he catches a cool devil lady, but most of the time it's just like
shuffling.
Yeah.
Shuffling awful molesting
it's like,
priests around.
Fellow
So while Robin Tunney hangs out with Rod Steiger for a little bit, Arnold goes home to like take a breather, and Gabriel Byrne follows him, and this scene is ridiculous.
It's the Nexus, man. He's like, come into the Nexus, Arnold.
It's so insane. So he's like, he's basically like, you know, if you just tell me where this girl is, you know, I'll give you back your daughter and your wife. Yeah. Remember what happened to them?
It's your classic action movie. My wife and baby daughter were murdered, but remember what happened to them is hilarious.
So then, like, as the devil, he uses devil powers to, like, recreate the situation in where a bunch of hoods, including Sven Ole Thorsen, break into this apartment and just murder both of them.
Yeah, Secundus himself.
And
are you the Comeda? I'm working for the devil now. Wait, what am I doing in this movie? Arnold, when can we go on break?
Whenever you want, Sven. I'll just shut this whole fucking thing down.
I thought you were doing Arnold.
Yeah, it's the same voice.
But it's great because Arnold is like trying to shoot these visions, which is awesome. And he's just like shooting up his apartment. Like he's shooting at a vision of Sven Ole Thorsen, which, by the way, what a vision to have. But then, like, Gabriel Byrne's like, okay, it could be this way instead. Because he's, like, trying to do a New York accent.
Yeah, sometimes.
And Arnold, like, opens this bedroom door, and it is fucking covered in blood. Like, Sven Ole Thorsen shot the shit out of these people.
I think this is around the time when Arnold has that screaming match with Gabriel Byrne, but it's like, you think you're bad? You're a fucking choir boy compared to me. A choir boy! which is great because I love spotting the Arnold soundboard.
Yes, yeah. This movie's got a bunch of them.
Thomas Aquinas is also another one of them.
But what they didn't use on the soundboards, which is so great because it's so close to Spice Girls lyrics. He's like, "Tell me what you want, what you really want." I was like, "Wait, what are you?
If you want
about?
To be my lover,
you got to get with my friends." What you have to make it last forever because friendship never ends.
A real human being.
And a real hero.
And a real hero.
When to become one.
That's, I was trying to think of any other Spice Girls song. That's why I was so quiet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember. Like, I can't remember the lyrics. What was that show that was on for 5 seconds? Don't forget the lyrics.
Oh, yeah. You would have failed.
Yeah.
Carson Daly would have kicked you off or whoever hosted it.
They're all Carson Daly.
So he drops the devil out a window, and the devil's like, oh, I have an idea. Why don't I just make Kevin Pollak come back to life? So Kevin Pollak shows up and he's like, hey, Arnold, it's me. Why'd you leave me at that van burning up like a fucking turkey for? He's like, what? Hey, this is... All right, I know I'm definitely dealing with the devil and my friend is certainly dead, but maybe not.
Well, so he shoots
him in his arm.
I love that. Right.
What's this horseshit thing where he's like, yeah, I just got out of the way of that blast. And Arnold's like, I don't know about that, Bobby Chicago. It sounds like a bunch of bullshit.
The traffic on the Van Wick.
All right, if you really know who I am, in what impossible, disgusting way must I manipulate my food before eating it? Only my truest friend would know that.
Where was the piece of pizza laying you saw me eat this morning?
Do I or don't I want to kill myself?
That's actually a great detail we skipped over in that first like Arnold introduction scene. Kevin Pollak notices the gun on the table and he's like, eh.
No, your best friend is... If you were a suicidal ender, I wouldn't be like, well, let's record We Hate Movies. I'd be like, well, let's maybe do something else.
Wait, but that's what you just did to me.
Well, yeah, you're fine. He edits the episodes, Eric.
Yes.
That's actually, it's a pretty boss move that Arnold pulls in this movie because Gabriel Byrne throws him out the window.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
Arnold's like hanging on and he's like, come on. He's like, you know, you just gotta tell me where she is. Just tell me where she is and I'll pull you back up. And he's like, all right. He takes his hand and then just fucking pulls him out and lands on a car, which is pretty neat.
That's nice. Yeah, and apparently like this is your classic the Sven Ole Thorsen thing was like he was an informant for the mob or some horse. It's it's too much. Whatever. I don't
Wait,
care.
Wait, what are you talking about?
He was testifying against the mafia and the mafia killed his family.
Is this a deleted scene?
No, this is, I mean, like, what happens is that.
Where are they saying that, though?
Gabriel Byrne's like, isn't it a shame that all of this backstory happened?
Oh, and he just says it right there?
Yeah, he says it right
there. Oh, I totally missed
you're
all
fine.
Of that.
The blender was on. You're trying to eat. I mean, you had halal cart food, and
no, I don't go to the halal cart in this neighborhood. Oops. That guy's a pig. His food's terrible, and he fucking made comments to my wife.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't eat at that halal cart, and it's the only one in the neighborhood.
That's a real bummer.
It sucks. It fucking sucks.
So he goes back to Robin Tinney, and Kevin Pollak goes with him, and then, like, whoops, wouldn't you know it, Kevin Pollak actually is working for the devil. So he puts her in Kevin Pollak's car, and she drives away. And then CCH Pounder, who has been killed at this point, comes back to life.
Killed by Arnold, by the way.
And, like, here's the thing. If you're trying to take down Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's just a dude, and these guys are cops, well, shoot him. They're taking him down like Frankenstein. They've got pitchforks and torches. And it's like, no. Shoot this dude in the head. Problem solved, the devil. And then fuck this lady in the end of the world.
I think this Arnold character is probably the only suicidal alcoholic that goes to the gym for 7 hours.
Yeah, also very true.
You can't stop this guy.
Well, maybe it's just like the start of his downward spiral, right? Like
maybe it just started yesterday?
Maybe if we caught him in like 2004, he's obese.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. I would love, Arnold, if you're listening, gain a bunch of weight. I would just like to see what it looks like at this point.
I'm playing Jake LaMotta.
There's been no movie where he's in a fat suit, right? I don't think so.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's right. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. Fingers crossed for Expendables 4, still fat. That'd be great.
Yes, I have a fat suit in Expendables 4, and I have a fat suit in Ted 3.
Like, he would totally be in Ted 3. It would be a hilarious joke. But do you think he would totally do the same thing that Stallone famously did, where he got fat in Copland, and he was telling everyone it was for a part because he's like so insecure about it?
Oh, right, yeah.
You think Stallone gave him, or Schwarzenegger gave him shit? Hey, looking pretty fat, Sly. I was going to ask if you wanted to pump some weights, but it seems like you've been pumping brownies.
Oh, it was constant. Brownies. It was like how Stanley Kubrick would call Stephen King in the middle of the night while he was making The Shining and ask him insane questions.
Yes. Like,
hello, is this Sly? Yeah, yeah. Is your refrigerator running? It must be able to run really fast because there's no food in it because you ate it all because you're so obese. Goodbye. This was Arnold.
Hey, where would you, who is?
You take some forever to figure it out. I've already hung up. Well, I feel bad for Sly. He's fat and stupid.
Hello?
So there's something where, like, Arnold goes down to the basement of this other place. And what is it? He uncovers. Like, it's like a real Indiana Jones situation.
Right. It's like a whole. It's like a black mass, I think.
Is that now.
Steve, you're the resident Catholic. I only know that phrase from Ozzy Osbourne. Now, this is where a bunch of like bad priests, right? Like the bad boys.
I think so.
It's like them and a bunch of like mob doctors. And, you know, the worst of the worst.
Yeah, there's a lot of scumbags in one basement.
Some Uber drivers.
But it's one of those weird things. He's walking through a tiny little like basement hallway that leads to a small door where he goes down a few steps and it's another tiny little crammed space. Uh-huh. And then you start hearing like chanting or something. And then he gets through that door and it's this huge fucking underground factory where they're conducting this like devil mass.
Oh no, I'm in the producer's cut of Halloween 5.
Great. Oh, no, it's the Curse of Thorn.
Hold the that would be amazing, okay? That's how you revitalize a wayward franchise like Halloween. You get an action star like an Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jean-Luc
Picard.
Hello, Jason.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm going to take you down, Michael Myers. Here we go. Oh, dude. Patrick Stewart could play the brother of Sam Loomis.
Oh, yes.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm Frank Loomis.
Hello there. I'm going to take over the Myers case. Going to take down the Rune of Thorn with my robot companion, Mr. Data.
Oh, man. And then it's Data versus Michael Myers, and Data's really strong. We're like, we're pushing each other into walls like Terminator 2.
It would be great, though, because then Michael Myers would just rip Data's arms off.
Yeah.
And you know Brent Spiner would be talking the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it would get annoying. That's a one-sided conversation between Data and Michael Myers.
That's true.
Watch that. Wesley's on the bridge. I'm Mr. Data, we got to go.
No, sorry, teenage girls and men. You're all going to die, but that little boy is in my chair.
Two to be my...
So yeah, then like CCH Pounder, as the possessed reincarnated person, starts firing wildly in this crowd at Arnold.
Yes, yeah, basically the devil is finally about to have sex with Robin Tunney. It's
and
a
it's
black
always
mask.
It's always public sex with these things. Rosemary's Baby, it's the same way.
What is with that shit?
Again, like, hey, look, I don't know who these guys are. They seem really rough. Let's go inside. You know,
yep.
I'll put on Netflix for a while. Just see what happens.
Oh, you. You don't watch Netflix, Narcos? Oh.
By the way, during this black mass or whatever it is, they're cutting back and forth between Times Square because it's the new year. It's
YK, right.
The new year. And Arnold is like, oh my God, I need to get there. They're good. The TRL is going to premiere the new Backstreet Boys video, and I want to be there. I want to be there. I want to share that experience. It's that moment in time.
Man, you don't want to be in Times Square at New Year's Eve.
Ever.
Here's the thing they don't tell you about that. If you go there for that shit, they don't let you leave.
No, you're stuck.
And there's no bathrooms or nothing, man.
So you have to pee your pants.
You got to wear a diaper like fucking Baby New Year himself.
Or that crazy astronaut lady.
All right, yeah. Whoa, Joke Jack back from when was that, 2007?
Yeah.
At least.
Right. She's all right.
Is she?
I think she's dead. I'm not sure.
Okay, good.
Was she killed in a shootout?
I don't remember.
I don't know how that case ended up.
Did she blend her food?
She definitely blended
her food. Well, you have to in space, dude. It's all mush.
And when you're driving cross country, shitting your pants the whole fucking way.
Yeah, you don't want to stop at many Burger Kings.
Well, you could have it your way if you did.
So, Arnold breaks into this black mass. I don't even know how he gets out of it. He kills CCH Pounder again. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Marge. We were such good friends.
My apologies, my best friend, Marge.
Oh, shit, I'm her son's godfather. Now I'm his dad.
No, I better shoot him, too.
I don't care if he's in league with the devil or anything.
I'm sorry, Marge.
Well, this is my favorite part of the movie because this is where Arnold is like, come on, Bobby Chicago. You're better than this. Don't do it. Well, don't do it, Bobby.
Because Bobby's got a gun to the girl. Right. And he's like, sorry, man. He made me a better offer. I was going to burn up in a car.
Bobby Chicago, listen to your good friend, Jenna Cocaine.
And I know this movie's already like 2 hours and 3 minutes, but like, I want to see that because what he says is like the devil got to him in that split second and was like, okay, Kevin Pollak, you can incinerate or you can work for me and live is the idea. Like, just give me that quick flashback of like Gabriel Byrne stepping through fire again, because you see that about 8 times in this movie. Like, he walks through some CG fire, makes that offer to him.
What the fuck does he have to live for?
All right, I'll let you live under one condition. You tell me who the real Kaiser Soze is. You know what I'm talking about, Pollock. You were there. You were there for those table reads.
Man, imagine everybody on that cast and crew knew that Kevin Spacey was Kaiser Soze, except for Gabriel Byrne.
I was at home in Queens.
Fuck your father in the shower and then have a snack? You're going to charge me, dickhead.
I've seen that movie a couple of times.
I was just actually thinking, I probably have not seen that movie in upwards of 10 years.
You're due for a rewatch.
Yeah. Does it hold up, though?
It does.
I worry that it's one of those high school movies where you're like, that's super sweet movie making.
It loses a bit from high school, for sure. It's a better high school movie than it is an adult man movie, but it's still a pretty good adult man movie.
Because I remember it being like a cool screenplay.
It is a cool screenplay. It's a cool movie. I like that movie.
I still like it. I haven't seen it in probably just a half a decade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so my favorite part of this movie is he's like, all right, fine, Arnold, I won't shoot him. And Gabriel Byrne's just like, all right, let's give the audience what they really, really want. And he like brushes Kevin Pollak's arm and this dude goes up like a dried out Christmas tree.
And the guy that played Chucky in the scenes where he was on fire gets back in that suit and starts running around.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a good burn.
It is. Oh, it's a sick burn, dude.
Also because this stuntman is wearing Kevin Pollak's Jets hat. So you know it's Kevin Pollak.
You do. You don't see the goatee, though. So then Arnold
well,
gets
that
her.
Burns right off.
Yeah, the hair always goes first.
So he runs. They get on a train, right? That's basically there's like a lot of chasing going around.
Yeah.
A train runs over the devil first. So now he kind of looks like. And the devil has been dropped off buildings, been shot numerous times.
Arnold machine gunned him.
But no, he's liquid metal.
But now, very much like Terminator, his hair is like ripped off at this point.
I guess it just takes a train.
So he gets on I think it's a garbage train. And if you're in the city, if you're like,
they're all garbage trains.
No, but you know what we're talking about.
I do know what
if it's after
about.
11 o'clock and you're waiting for the D train for about an hour and a half and you hear a train, I'll be like, oh, thank God. You start putting your coat on. No, it's a garbage train.
Which sucks because your bladder is always like, fucking finally.
You know, people might not know, you know, to paint the whole picture, it is just literally a train that hauls garbage.
Yep.
It's just a train. Full of garbage.
It's always a train from like 1976.
Well, yeah. There's like the thing with like the dumpster.
Oh, yeah, it's a pickup truck.
Where the garbage is. But then like there's always the train car and it's always like the MTA workers catching a ride and you're like, fucking goddamn it. Where's this thing going? You going home? Because I'm not.
It's all in the devil is what it is.
About to piss in the corner of this subway station, get a fucking ticket, garbage truck.
Because it's only two cars driving and this guy and Arnold gets in. He's got a gun to the MTA worker's head and he's
sure.
Like,
go fast. And then he knocks the devil off, and then he goes, I'm taller, right? Right, the end of Speed.
Does anybody get it? Or he's like, I want you to go just as fast as the train in my favorite movie, Money Train.
Also taking place around New Year's Eve.
I could be home watching the Money Train.
On VHS.
It's great because Woody Harrelson and the Wesley Snipes play brothers.
Did you know that I used to rent that movie every night? Made more sense to buy.
I just needed that to go to sleep. Actually, coincidentally enough, that movie actually starred the devil. Robert Blake is in that movie, guys.
Oh, yeah, that dude is definitely Satan personified.
Oh, man. Really?
Oh, Robert Blake? Yeah, he's a maniac.
Oh, because he killed that lady?
Oh, probably among other things. You ever look at that dude?
He's a biter, as he looks like. He looks like a real bitey Kevin Pollak.
Well, wasn't Robert Blake famously like a little rascal?
A little rascal?
He might have been,
well, like the tail end, like, you know, that like fifth Three Stooge that they hired?
Oh, really?
I think he was.
Yeah, he was Curly Joe.
Yeah, fucking Curly Joe,
you
man.
Remember that
just
shit?
Give up the act.
Fucking disgrace.
You don't need to be in color, and you don't need to star Curly fucking Joe, thank you very much. Yep. And that guy knew it. He knew he didn't belong there.
Yeah.
He's just going along for that stooge money.
What was the point? Shemp was right there. Well, Shemp was in them first, right? When did Cole...
I think it's all alcohol. Anytime you don't see a stooge on screen, it's alcoholism. It's like, oh, this one's got it this week.
But well, Shemp was not bad. Shemp is underrated.
Shemp's great. Yeah. Shemp was first, and then I don't know what happened, and then Curly came in.
Oh,
and
okay.
Curly had a stroke.
Shemp was first.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, okay. And then Curly had a stroke and couldn't do it anymore. And then I think they maybe brought Shemp back. And then that guy died. He had a heart attack or something.
And then,
it's Chris Berman for a little while.
Yeah, then Chris Berman stepped into the role.
And then Chris Maloney.
Chris Berman gets hit with a hammer and goes,
football, Pizza Hut commercial, somehow I'm a legend.
Figure. Well, it's an old game that happened. you don't know when I went to Three Stooges. You're watching, you're getting hammered right through your fucking head. It's really, really something. That was really special. I was also friends with O.J. Simpson for a while.
Who wasn't?
O.J. Simpson came to my house, and O.J. said, I probably killed two people. And I was like, yep, you're still a phenomenal athlete. I said, pass for me, Juice.
Sorry, that's my Chris Berman impression.
We somehow make our way back to Rod Steiger's church.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Kolchak the Not Night Stalker isn't happening. There's a whole fucking movie underneath this church that I'd rather be watching.
A porno parody, Kolchak the Nut Stalker?
Oh, wow. he's after hot loads in the night.
It still just stars a fucking old man.
It's actually Gavin.
It's Darren Gavin.
But he's just like, he puts on his hat, he goes out for the night. Gotta go find some hot loads tonight.
At the end of every porno parody, he looks at the camera and goes, I got tricked.
I found a ghost and he covered me in slime. Turned out it was actually actually that guy we met at the start of the episode, and it turned out it was actually his hot load.
Was trying to track down Jack the Ripper. Found a case full of hot loads instead.
Turned out he was ripping nuts.
Jesus Christ. Filthy. You are fucking filthy.
What?
Filthy. You are fucking made of filth.
What are you talking about? This is from the Kolchak the Nut stuff.
I thought I was a werewolf, but I actually just woke up in the back alley of a bathroom covered in hot loads. I didn't remember anything from the night before, but I was doing Molly all night. Yeah. All I had was my hat
covered in those loads and a bunch of shaved pubes, and I thought I was a werewolf. Howled at the moon and it didn't feel right, so I just went back to work at the newspaper. Took a long hot bath.
Kolchak the Nut Stalker.
And then I got this script for Billy Madison. They said, I don't know, is that an improvement? I'll give it a go.
So we're back at this church, and the devil comes in, kills a whole bunch of priests. He kind of just pushes Rod Steiger over.
Yeah, you don't know what happens. I think he lives. I think I think the door is closed or something. Like he's like stuck out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm sorry. Curious. Gabriel Byrne dies. The body of Gabriel Byrne dies on the train, and the devil dragon pops out.
Oh, that's right.
And so the devil dragon flies into the church. Like, everyone goes, oh shit, and runs out of here.
Here's the last stage of this video game.
And like, it's 11:57 at some point. So he's like, all right, I got to get in there. I got my Viagra. He's really got no time left.
You can't do it.
This done, man. I'm
sorry. Gabriel
Byrne
stars in Time Enough to Fuck.
Kolchak the Nutstalker could find the hot load this fast.
Dude, that would make a great season finale of Kolchak the Nutstalker. What's gonna happen? Right. Is he gonna find a hot load in time or what?
Right.
Is the world gonna end by hot load or is it not?
Tonight I'm leaving the paper. I gotta race the devil to find a hot load before him. It's great. Beat the devil. It's a classic scenario.
It's the devil in a hot load is what it is.
Exactly.
That's a B-side of Charlie Daniels.
The devil came down with a hot load.
So whatever, man. He fucking fights the devil for a little bit.
He fights the devil for a bit, and then he gets possessed by the devil. We get some total recalling. He's going,
big time.
I guess I'll run for governor. I'm looking for big change in Sacramento.
So yeah, he does turn into the devil, and he's like, come on, Christine. I'm a nice guy again, I swear to God. Look, it's over. Forget about it. Like, now I'm going to give you my heart load. Oh, no. When I do it, it's the worst thing anyone could do.
It is, yeah. Yeah, no. But when I do it, it's nice.
But he tries to have sex with her. But then Arnold, for some reason, is strong. She's like, Arnold, don't do this. You're stronger than the devil. And he's like, yeah, I guess I am.
Well, you're stealing this right from the most famous fucking devil movie, The Exorcist.
Oh, right.
It's the end of the movie where fucking Father Karras is like the devil, like, go inside me, Pazuzu, take me, nah, not the girl, nah. Then, like, you know.
And then Arnold Schwarzenegger brushes him aside and I'll get this done. I am now the devil.
Throws himself out the window. I mean, that's what this is. He's like, go, just go, Christine, go. And then he, like, impales himself on this fucking sword that's
pretty cool, yeah.
Laying around, which ain't bad. Which then
there's no live swords in the church. Like it's like an archangel Michael statue or whatever, and like it's with an actual blade.
Or is it like a stone or something?
I think it's a real shiny blade.
Oh, is it a blade?
Yeah,
I thought it was stone too.
You know what? Maybe it is a blade, but it's dull.
Yeah,
so it hurts more.
Oh wow!
Oh sure. I mean, it's a super sacrifice.
Apparently, alternate ending here. So Arnold dies.
Right. Right.
But I think he sees his wife and child, and he's like, oh, I get to go to heaven. That's awesome.
Oh, right.
That's pretty cool.
There's a little bit of a vision there. And so he's like, hey, honey, is there a blender in heaven or what?
What's the food situation?
They better be blending.
But he does go to heaven. But the alternate take was he like just magically lives, and he's like, oh, thank God, Christine, that is over now.
Well, it stands to reason, like a lot of these like paranormal things where it's like, oh, you killed the thing and now we're gonna reset to like before the movie happened.
Yeah, or
I could see that happening.
Sure.
It sort of made me think though, like I'm thinking this
made you think
Terminator. Yeah, every once in a while something sparks up there. This Terminator 2, like I guess technically also Terminator, like where, what are the movies where Arnold dies?
Not many.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. Junior, he dies in childbirth.
No, he does not.
Oh, no.
Dude, that's the Junior prequel, Junior Oregon Trail.
Danny, I'm not going to make it. Bury me on this hill.
Oh, he dies in Jingle All the Way. Jamie, get your mother. I'm dying. I can't be your turbo man.
Here's your new father, Sinbad.
Well, at least one of the Arnolds must die in the sixth day, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember how that shakes out.
Sorry, clone. All these clones are dead, and all those, bury them next to those Michael Keaton multiplicity cones.
Bury my clone with my birthday cake. He always wanted it, but I told him it was my birthday cake.
He's in my house eating my birthday cake. That is a stay tuned idea.
That movie's a fucking stink fest with a great story behind it.
Robert Duvall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And yet, that's the thing, though, because the movie just ends like Arnold's dead and Robin Tunney's like, that's something. Nobody knows what happened to fucking Rod Steiger. He's in the back.
Maybe he's like, calling, good.
He's calling the Nut Stalker.
Got another case for you.
1-900-NUTS. So you get Kolchak the Nut Stalker on the phone.
Just put my straw hat on and walk the night for some nuts. Nuts for Nuts stand.
That's a good place to start.
Wonder if anything mysterious is happening with this guy's Johnson.
Would anybody recommend this movie?
I would. It's not great. It's not good at all. Supernatural action movies are just always in my wheelhouse, and sure. This is no real exception. It's not great. It's a better movie if Arnold isn't in it. If you get like a Mel Gibson, you get a Keanu in here, you get a Bruce Willis. Really, any other tough guy-ish dude that can actually act, it's a better movie.
I feel like you have to leave. It's weird, and I don't know, like, why I feel this is a qualifier, but like any of the 80s action guys,
they gotta go
I feel don't qualify because like Stallone couldn't do this movie. I don't think JCVD could pull off this movie.
Oh, definitely not.
Probably not even a Bruce Willis.
Really? I thought Bruce Willis could do it. Probably
maybe.
Not.
Yeah, that's treading the line. You need someone with a little more of an actory experience.
You get Sam Neill in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
In which part?
All of them. It's every single, it's a one-man show.
I could see him doing the devil.
Oh, Sam Neill has played the son of the devil.
Oh, right, yeah.
Omen in, 3, yeah. Final Conflict.
As president-elect.
Well, he's a senator who's like running for president. Right. I don't remember if he gets elected, though. Would you recommend this movie, though?
No.
No?
No, actually.
A hard no to an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I love Arnold movies, but this is just one of the low points for me.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I feel like it's a little too long, and it just wasn't doing it for me.
I was shocked and disappointed when I looked at the runtime. I was like, 2 hours.
What are we doing?
Jesus Christ, kill me.
Exactly.
I would still totally recommend it. I'm not totally right. It's a soft recommend. Let me correct that. It's a soft recommend.
I'm not going to get a hard load out of a soft recommend, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah? Bend over and I'll show you.
Sorry.
So you get it done. No, I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of a hangover movie because of its length.
Sure.
TNT's going to rip this out to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. You better believe it. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of sit in. And there's so much shit in the middle that just doesn't matter.
No.
You hang out, stay conscious enough for that helicopter chase, stay conscious enough for Kevin Pollak's fucking water sports death. you know, a couple other things here and there.
That is a good point. I think it could be a hangover movie.
Sure, 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 sure. Oh, by the way, did anybody else keep count? Was anybody tallying how many times we're saying end of days in this movie?
Oh, no. So many times.
It's
right?
A solid 5 times.
Five.
Mm. 5 times. And not just Arnold. Like, everybody's saying end of days at least once. I think Kevin Pollak gets it in there.
Yeah, let me get the end of days. That's a blended up hero sandwich with garlic broccoli Rob.
And don't forget, you got to put a hot load
in there. Oh, that's End of Days from 1999, directed by former friend of O.J. Simpson, Peter Hyams. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over at sideshownetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Right into the We Hate Movies mailbag, We All Hate Movies, @gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it.
And, you know, we were doing some fun Star Trek The Next Generation jokes. If you happen to like those,
right,
you should probably check out our Patreon page because we do have a show where we do Star Trek The Next Generation and Star Trek the original series.
That's right.
Every month as a Patreon exclusive.
That's right. So that's patreon.com/WeHateMovies. That's where Animation Damnation went. That's where A Side Order's Sleaze pops up every now and again. And you have access to early releases of commentaries.
Right. We got one coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's tease that a little bit. There's a new commentary coming pretty soon.
Probably January.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah,
shout out any tattoos you might see.
Oh, yeah. A little teaser. A little Kolchak teaser.
Call out any loads you might find.
Oh, no, found one. So then next week on the program, and unless they somehow quickly produce and release a Kolchak the Nut Stalker Collector's Edition DVD, What is the episode next week?
It's our anniversary show. Our
shit.
6-year anniversary?
Is there a well, it's a season seven.
I don't know what the hell
we started the show in 2010.
So it's, yeah, this would be their yeah, sixth so whatever, year. Whatever that is.
That's a pleather anniversary.
It's a treat yourself week with a We Love Movies of Demolition Man.
Fuck yeah.
Well, we're going to Sly Stallone.
That's right. We're going to finally figure out who won the fast food wars, among other things. So
Simon Phoenix is going to show up.
Oh, sure. Ooh, ratty old Dennis Leary's farting around in that movie.
What's Bob your Schneider?
Oh, shit. Oh, right. I forgot he was in there.
Crap. Yeah, so did I. God damn it.
Man, what's your boggle?
So that is next week on the program when We Hate Movies says happy anniversary to us. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.